gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? It is written, but they cried out exceedingly, Crucify him! Crucify him! It is written, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. It is written, truly this man was the Son of God. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him up to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answering saith unto him, Thou sayest. And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they accuse thee of. But Jesus no more answered anything, insomuch that Pilate marveled. I saw one hanging on the tree, in agonies of blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me, as near the cross I stood, sure never to my latest breath can I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience would feel and own the guilt, and plunge me in despair. My sins his blood had spilled, and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. My blood is shed to ransom thee. I die that you may live. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from the Word of God entitled The Crucifixion of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The key word in the story of the crucifixion in the Gospel according to Mark is the word straightway. And straightway in the morning is the way the account begins. Mark is a person who often uses that word in his story in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, straightway. This chapter is also the story of martyrdom. A martyr is a witness who sometimes gives up his life for Jesus. But there are martyrs also who witness and give up their lives as martyrs for the devil, and without repentance give up their hope of heaven for the devil. The blood of the martyrs for the Lord is the seed of the church, and the sin of the martyrs for the devil is the seed of hellfire. The devil has many witnesses today. Sometimes the members of the body of Christ witness for the devil. Deliberately miss the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day is a witness for the devil. The devil loves to watch a drunken Christian. He snickers when he sees a preacher watch pornography in the church office. He regards a Christian who speaks up for pro-choice in abortion as hilarious. He is highly amused at Christians who never read the Bible. Without repentance, this type of church member may give up his hope of heaven and may go to hell as a martyr for the devil. According to Mark's style, repentance should be done straightway. So Mark chapter 15, the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, is done straightway. Mark lived with his mother in Jerusalem. One night he heard a great commotion. A lot of loud voices and yelling. Something was going on outside. Mark got out of bed and did not take time to get dressed. He just grabbed a sheet and wrapped it around him and went outside. A mob was leading Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to the trial. Mark followed, and somebody grabbed at him and tore the sheet loose, and he ran and left the sheet and fled naked. That's Mark for you, straightway. The crucifixion story in Mark begins with straightway. The whole process was done straightway. They could not kill the Lord fast enough. The quicker the better, straightway. That is the way they did it, and that is the way Mark told it. Straightway. Straightway in the morning they bound Jesus. They are still binding Jesus today. Some bind him with his own laws. They say that since they cannot walk on the water, Jesus could not do it either. They cannot experience a resurrection, so Jesus cannot do it either. He is bound by his own natural laws. Jesus is bound also by the indifference of church members. There is not much the Lord can do with a church that just doesn't give a hoot. Straightway, Pilate thought he found a way out of the situation. He would dodge the issue. At the feast, the governor would release one prisoner. When the question was raised, Pilate gave them a choice: Barabbas or Jesus. Pilate was trying to dodge the issue. The real question before him was, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Many dodge the issue today. The question of salvation is pushed aside for the answer to other questions. People ask, what about the hypocrites in the church? What about the baptism of my parents? They were not immersed. Do you mean to say they're in hell because they were not? One man told me he was ready to become a Christian if I could give him the identity of Cain's wife. Pilate is trying to dodge the real question, trying to ignore it. Many today ignore the question. There is one thing no one can do with Jesus, and that is you cannot ignore him. People hear his name mentioned every day, if not in praise, then in profanity. Is there anyone in America who has never, never heard of Jesus? It is a wonder to me that people who have never read the Bible or been inside of a church building don't ask somebody, who is this Jesus that everybody is talking about every day, one way or the other? We hear his name mentioned over and over again and again. You cannot ignore Jesus. Straightway, they made a decision as to the fate of Jesus. When the multitude were asked what to do about Jesus, they said, crucify him. Some of them lived to see the day when they would be crucified themselves. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem about 40 years later, many tried to escape the city and were crucified, as many as 500 a day. Some tried to take their gold with them and swallowed it and retrieved it later. When this was discovered, the Romans began to capture the escapees and slit them open. Many were slit open, gold or no gold. Crucify him! Crucify him! Get it over with straightway. The scourging of Jesus was done straightway. Pilate delivered Barabbas and scourged Jesus. Jesus was beaten with whips that had metal at the end of each thong. Such a beating sometimes killed the culprit. Think of that. The next time you settle down in that soft cushioned seat in your house of worship, your Lord was scourged. Think of that when you tread over that plush carpet. Your Lord was scourged. Think of that when the weather is a little nasty and you are unable to venture out for services. Well, within 24 hours, Jesus was bound, tried, convicted, crucified straightway. It was straightway that they crowned him with thorns. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Now that was ironic. Part of the curse in the Garden of Eden was that the earth would bring forth thorns and thistles. When Jesus went to the cross, they took his garments and divided them among the soldiers. The crown of thorns, the emblem of the curse, was the only garment that the Lord wore on the cross. In Revelation 19, he is pictured in his return, wearing many crowns and diadems. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He will wear the crown as King of the church when he comes again. He will wear the crown as King of creation when he comes again. He will wear the crown as King of the judgment throne when he comes again. The one crown missing on that day will be the crown of thorns. Little did the apostles know that when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, that within 24 hours he would wear a crown of thorns, and it was done straightway. It was straightway that they spit on Jesus. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and smote him on the head with the reed he held as a scepter, and spat upon him. Television lawyers may be able by their mumbo-jumbo justify the beating and scourging by saying the soldiers were only doing their job. But it would appear that spitting in the face of Jesus was not commanded. This was their own idea. They spat on Jesus. The irony of this is the fact that Jesus was made to be sin, who knew no sin. The Father allowed his Son to be spit upon. That shows you how God Almighty regards sin. It is something to be spit upon. So, the next time you lift your glass of booze or drugs, put it in the proper perspective. Spit in it first, and then take it. He was made to be sin. So they spit on Jesus. Little did Peter think that when the Lord washed his feet, that within 24 hours, spit would be streaming down his face. And it was done straightway. It was straightway that they found someone to carry his cross. As they were on the way to the crucifixion, they found a man named Simon. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Mark mentions this Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. No one knows who these two worthies were, but Mark knew them. A Rufus is mentioned by Paul in Romans 16, and a Christian by the name of Alexander is mentioned in the riot at Ephesus. At any rate, they were prominent members of the first church in the first century. This is no wonder. Their father carried the cross for Jesus. If your parents carried the cross for Christ before you, and if they wore that blessed name before you, how lucky you are to have such a heritage. Any person who goes to hell with a background like that has to climb over the cross, climb over the church, climb over the Bible, climb over the dead bodies of their parents to get there. But think also of that name, Simon. What a coincidence that is. The man who carried the cross for Jesus was Simon. If it had not said Simon of Cyrene, we would naturally think it must be Simon Peter. The Lord depended on Simon Peter as his apostle. If Simon Peter fails, then the Lord will use another Simon. This crown of service that could have been Simon Peter's was worn by another Simon. Simon of Cyrene stole the crown of Simon Peter. Don't let somebody else steal your crown. If Simon Peter won't do it, Simon of Cyrene will. Straightway, they stripped off his clothes. They parted his garments among them, casting lots. Jesus died on the cross naked, so that we might be properly clothed. Paul said in Galatians, as many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. The parable of Jesus about the wedding garment of the king's son told of one man who did not have a wedding garment. Jesus said, the king will say, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Jesus laid aside his garments and girded himself with a towel when he washed the disciples' feet. On the cross, he laid aside his garments also to make possible the washing away of our sins. Within 24 hours, his clothes were taken off. Straightway, just before they nailed Jesus to the cross, there was one little touch of mercy extended. They offered wine to drink mingled with gall. The purpose of this was to alleviate somewhat the pain of the crucifixion ordeal. But Jesus would not drink their liquid fire. He would not drink their distilled damnation. He wanted to pay the full price of our redemption. No matter what the price of our redemption might be, Jesus wanted to pay the full price down to the last penny. The whole thing must be paid. There would be no sin of ours left unpaid to be burned off in the imaginary fires of an imaginary purgatory. Jesus paid the price for all my sins, and the debt was paid in full. He suffered to the full. None of the wounds of the nails in hands and feet were fatal. The crucifixion was designed to be as painful as possible, and Jesus paid it all straightway. There was no loss of time by crucifying the two thieves with Jesus. That was all a part of the humiliation. It was straightway that they crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. There was a sinner to the right of him and a sinner to the left of him, and Jesus in the center. Jesus is always a center in every place where he is involved. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is the apex of the ages. He is the keystone of the arch of humanity. He is the watershed of the world. He is the hinge of history. He is the pivotal person in all prayers, prophecies, preaching, praise, poetry, prose, on every page of the Word of God. A prophecy was fulfilled regarding the two thieves. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. They counted three criminals on the crosses, and the one in the center was the leader of the pack. Jesus would have a police record in Jerusalem. He was numbered among the righteous, that we might be numbered among the righteous in the Lamb's Book of Life. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Those who gladly received his word the day the first gospel sermon was preached were added to the Lamb's Book of Life, and that straightway. The mockery was straightway. Mark records one statement the others do not mention. He says that when they looked at Jesus on the cross, they laughed. Ha! Be assured that ridicule is one of the favorite devices of the devil. How he likes to poke fun at the Christian who has the gall to say the Bible is the Word of God. He still laughs at those who believe in the creation story of the Bible. Ridicule is one of his most effective weapons. Some, quote, Christians, unquote, would rather be damned than laughed at. Some would rather endure 10 lashes with a horsewhip than to be thought of as a Jesus freak. Many a member of the church may be damned by satanic laughter. Think of the cruelty of such laughter at Jesus in all of his suffering. Suppose someone visited a sick person in the hospital who is in the last stages of a painful disease, and instead of offering a prayer or feeling sympathetic, they laugh and then sing that song of yesteryear, "I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you." That's the way it was when Jesus died on the cross. So don't quail before the laughter and the sneers of the world when you witness for your faith. Their laughter is as the laughter of idiots who would laugh when they learned the reason for their insanity. The devil lost no time in presenting his plan of salvation. Save thyself and come down from the cross. That statement could be called the gospel according to the devil. Save yourself. There is no salvation promised to any person apart from the cross. Paul's statement in Romans is thought-provoking here. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we might arise to walk in newness of life. Remember, Paul tells us that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. The reason many reject the cross is because at that moment they are on their way to hell. The cross points in different directions. It points up to heaven. The cross points both ways around the world. And the cross points down to hell. The gospel song says it for us. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Today is the day for life's greatest decision, and that straightway. For the burial of the Lord's body, Mark tells of Joseph of Arimathea, who went in boldly and asked Pilate for the body of Christ. This was something that none of the apostles could do, even if they had not fled. This would be a job for a very high-profile person. This man was a counselor of honorable estate, a secret follower of Jesus. At last he was bold enough to come out of hiding. The Lord can use many different kinds of people. He can use high-profile people that can wield influence that others don't have. However, the high-profile follower of the Lord is a rare person. Paul tells us, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. He chose the weak things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong. He did not say there were no mighty called, but he did say there were not many. Lord, must I bear the whole of it or none? Even as I was crucified, my son. Lord, will it suffice if I the thorn crown wear? Take the scourge my shoulders were made to bear. My hands, O Lord, must I be pierced in both? Twain gave I to the hammers, nothing loath. But surely, Lord, my feet must not be nailed. Had mine not been, then love had not prevailed. What need I more, O Lord, to do my part? Only the spear point in thy broken heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org.
praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Just a